Hi everybody, it's Michelle, and this is February 20th, 2020, and this is our third call in the Abundance Series. We're going to begin, as we always do, in Shavasana. So find a place where you can be comfortable, where you will be undisturbed. Take the support that you need for your head, for your legs, whatever you need to be comfortable. Lie on your back. And bend the knees to begin. Take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. Make space through the low back. Then extend one leg out and then the other. Let the baby toes drop to the earth. The rest of the toes follow. Legs a comfortable distance apart, equidistant from that center line of the body. Now bend the elbows and dig the elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center any amount. Open the heart. Release the arms to the floor. Low V, palms up position. And if you haven't got head support beneath you yet, find some head support. I really wanted to start with that. So hopefully you already have that today. The head and neck should be fully supported and the shoulders free. And softly close the eyes and notice your position in Shavasana today. Are there any adjustments you need to be comfortable? Are there any adjustments you need to be aligned so that the body is straight on that center line? Head straight. Shoulders equally released away from the ears. The arms resting equally on the floor with the thumbs the same distance from the floor. So if one thumb is closer to the floor than the other, that shoulder is probably more open. So it adjusts to the other shoulder so that the shoulders are equally open. So move through the body, scan your body, see what is needed to be aligned, to be comfortable, to be at ease. Notice in this moment what's in your heart center today. What kind of feelings are there when you bring your attention to your heart center? Is there heaviness or lightness? Are you preoccupied with things or overwhelm or fear? Any negativity, just let it go with the next breath. It's not needed right now. Just let it go. Maybe another time to pick that up if you choose to for now. With the exhalation, let go of any negativity, any emotions that aren't serving you. Let them go. With each breath, let them go. And then with the next few inhalations, breathe in peace. Breathe in ease. Breathe in light, equanimity, empowerment. Breathe in joy with each inhalation. Feel whatever one of those positive emotions or combination of them for you. Let them just fill your heart center. So knowingness that all is well in this moment. That here there's good, here there's power, here there's ease. Breathe that in. And now just follow the breath. Watch the movements of the breath. And let each breath take you deeper and deeper into stillness, beyond stillness, silence. So you're being breathed by this breath of the universe. Just be and breathe. Watch the breath. Be breathed. And then with the next few breaths, return to that feeling of well-being in the heart center. Noticing whatever of positivity is arising there, letting all the rest go. Is it equanimity? And ease with whatever is arising in the moment. Joy. Not trying to force something to occur, just seeing what bubbles up through our focused attention. That's all. See what's there in the heart center that serves you. And allow the breath to deepen. Start to move in any way that feels good to you. Bend the knees. Slowly roll to the right side, support your head. Take a few breaths here, no rush. Softly open your eyes. And use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. Keep the gaze toward the floor. And keeping that same quiet ease, focused attention. Whatever positivity has arisen in your heart, allowing those to remain with you as you return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. So you can see and be seen today. Just looking for the questions that you've posted as I wait for you to appear here. Looking forward to diving in today. Like fabulous questions posted. You guys are awesome. Teresa, welcome. First here. All right. Let me grab the right notes. There, got them. All right, hi Barb, hi Teresa, and see many, many more of you here. Hopefully we'll get to see you today. If we can't, if you're not in a place where you can be seen, that's also all right. Mary Kay, great to see you. Always great when we can see you. so much more present. I can see what's happening with you better, and you get to be seen. Hi, Dottie. And as entrepreneurs, that's one thing that we certainly want. We want to be able to be seen. And it requires practice too. Talk about practice in the first call of the Abundance Series. We want to practice being seen whenever we can. All right. Just want to begin. Oh, almost forgot. What did you love here? What stays with you from this practice of Shavasana today? Yep, Dottie, thank you.
This was my favorite one. It seemed like to me it was a little bit longer. Was it?
It was shorter. I'm pretty sure it was shorter. I don't always count, but you know, it just goes to show, and I could be wrong, but it just goes to show that time is relative, right? And it depends so much on our mind state. I could be wrong, Dottie, you might be right, but certainly your experience of it was longer, and I love that. What did you love about it?
I loved maybe you've done it before, but I haven't heard it. The direction of more directions, more, I can't remember exactly what they were, you know, feel the peace, breathe in the peace. I don't remember hearing that before, but mm-hmm. The vocal directions were very helpful to me.
I'm so glad, Dottie. And for this Shavasana, I borrowed something that we dive into further in the Loving Kindness series. And so we usually encounter it there. But what is it to actually intentionally let go of what I don't need? It combines the Letting Go series too. And fill my being with what actually serves me and therefore the world. So love that you heard that. And I love what you said, Dottie, too, that you said, maybe you said it, but I haven't heard it before. That's a wonderful way to be too. It's like, what can I hear here and now? What are my ears ready to hear today? So love that, Dottie. Thank you. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love today in your practice? It's your practice. Who would like to share? Barb, thank you.
I particularly appreciated the breathing in of peace. It's something that I've been craving. So that was nice. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you. Beautiful. All right. We're going to dive right in. So much I want to share with you today. And there's some really important announcements as well. So first thing is, make sure you've seen the email with a bunch of important updates. It's entitled, Please Open Calendar Updates and Special Incentives. It was sent out Tuesday. So if you haven't seen that, check your spam box, check your trash. It's a really important email. There's a new calendar coming out just because we have a couple of updates, a couple of things we've added for you, just bonuses, and then one changed time of our next call in this series. So all those are listed for you there. I just want to mention them briefly here. We've got a high ticket virtual retreat booster call, Next Steps for the Game. This is on February 27th. So next week at our usual time and place, 12:30 Mountain Time. And this is an hour with Marie. And it's, again, just a bonus tier. This is just extra tier. We love giving you extra, right? Extra things that can serve and support you on your journey. And Marie has had beautiful success with the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. And we've only done this one other time, I believe it was, with Marie. And people raved about the call. You're not going to want to miss this one. So again, February 27th next week. Then our Abundance Call 4, please note that it's on a Tuesday, not a Thursday. So it's at, it's on Tuesday, March 3rd. That's because I'm going to be in flight on the 5th. But what we've done is we've changed the time. So we try not to do this very often, but this came up about a week ago. It's at 2:30 Mountain Time. So 2 hours later than usual. That's because I need the second step of a root canal. And the doctor did everything to move it around for me. And that was the absolute only time available. And in the interest of, you know, self-care that I'm asking you to do, I'm not going to go away on a trip with a root canal that's incomplete. So we needed to move the call. It was the only way to do it. So I hope you'll forgive us for that change. They, you know, a whole bunch of people rearranged their day so that they could do that for me because they had no time, but that was the only way they could do it. So that's one and two. Number three is Marie will be hosting another call March the 12th. We didn't originally have a call on this date, but it's a Love Your Words community Q&A call, and it'll be for an hour at our usual time and place. So bring your questions. Marie will be there to answer as many questions as she can get to live on that call. Number four, so three dates that I mentioned. Then number four is massage anyone. This is listed in the email, but the Mexico retreat, the deadline for the early bird registration for Mexico is tomorrow. Tomorrow midnight, you need to send Amy an email if you're planning to come to Mexico. Man, please get your, this is just us incentivizing you to do what you've already invested in. When you do so, when you send Amy both your room registration and your flight by tomorrow, there's a massage on me at Mar de Jade. I've never bought people massages at Mar de Jade ever before. And but this is just my gift to you for taking that step that will serve and support you that you've already invested in. So that's by midnight tomorrow. So please remember to get that in. Point number five, remember the game is on, and the deadline for us collectively winning the game is March 4th. So the day after our 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time call. And it's less than 2 weeks away. So I'm not sure how many high ticket sales we have in the community. And if I were you, what I would be doing, one of the things to think about is like, how are you playing? Ask yourself, like, how am I playing this game? Am I taking the best advantage? Watch how you're playing. Am I taking one of the really wonderful things to do is to take on a leadership role in the community at this time. Many people have done this in the past. Many of you are posting, you're adding comments here and in the Facebook forum, you're on each connection calls with each other. So how do you want to play here? Because how you're playing in the game is probably how you're playing in your company as well. You heard that, right? It's like how you're playing here is probably how you're playing your company. If you heard that and you think that matters, raise your hand. Yeah, it's like, thank you. That's unanimous. Everyone is, everyone that I can see. How you do anything is how you do everything. How are you playing here? Are you afraid to engage? Are you first to engage? Are you also playing a role of support for other people? Have you thought about how to get a team behind you? Are you using the power of the team that is this community? All those things, whatever's happening here is probably happening out there as well. Watch how you're playing. And then I strongly suggest, what would it be like to take a leadership role here in the game? Entrepreneurs are leaders. And what would that even mean? It might mean one post for you in the Facebook page. It might be reaching out to somebody instead of waiting for somebody to reach out to you and to serve and support them. Entrepreneurs are also, first thing in service, right? So just notice. And our very solid deadline is March 4th. We'll win the game or March 4th. We will win the game or we won't. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm super excited about seeing what happens in these last couple of weeks. Dottie, I see your question. All of that information is, like, to find that out is in the email that was sent out about Mexico. So you should have that in your inbox, right? Just lots I want to share today. I don't have that right at hand, the answer to that question. So just check your inbox and then head over to, it's mardejade.com. There's lots of information over at their website, mardejade.com, and the link to that's in your inbox. Okay. For March 3rd, will you please, I strongly suggest that you read and review chapter 7 to 10 in The Science of Getting Rich. If you don't have a chance, don't worry, come anyway. But we're going to be reviewing those chapters next time and what they mean in terms of creating abundance in our companies and in our lives in ways far beyond what we might have anticipated ever before. So That's it for announcements. Lots of things happening to support you in the community right now. I would love to hear one or two wins. And it can start out just, my win is, or you don't even need those words, and no hand-wringing beforehand. Well, you know, it didn't really happen in the way that I wanted, or there's other things that are happening that are bad, but we often do that. Like, skip the hand-wringing and go straight to the win. It's a really good practice. And just a single sentence in it, your win might come from, we had some amazing small group calls in the last couple of weeks. If you're Diamond or Diamond Elite, it might have come from that. It might have come from a connection call that you're on. It might have come from engaging in the game. Could be you being on the court with strategy sessions, whatever that means for you. It might be focusing on the content that we've been sharing, something about the pause, or noticing what your practices are and how that's creating abundance for you, or not. It's all good, right? But you know what's happening is for you, that's a win for you. It might be inner world, it might be outer world. One sentence, no hand wringing, maybe two sentences. Who would like to share? Just land on it, state it boldly. Mary Kay, love it. Thank you. You're up.
My win is that I presented for the first time ever my year-long high ticket offer to a person, and she is thinking about it, and we have another call scheduled. And that in itself is confirming that this is the right thing.
Mary Kay, freaking awesome, and so awesome. And will you tell them, you don't have to give it, you can give them numbers or not, but can you give them some idea of the magnitude of how much bigger a step this is for you? And you don't have to tell them the exact dollars if you don't want to, but it's a really, really big step, and I love that. And it will give them, because you've already been playing at that high ticket level, but this is a whole new level, right?
Well, this is a person I've worked with last year, and it would be, if she's interested, at probably 10 times what she invested last year.
Thank you. I wanted them to hear the magnitude of how you're stepping up and stepping out and getting that offer out of our mouths and having those people consider them is just freaking phenomenal. It is so very beautiful. And what that means of who we are and what we need to step up into in our being is immense. Thank you, Mary Kay. Love it, love it, love it. Beautiful. Let's hear one more win. Who has something you want to share? It's great to share the wins. It makes them real. There are always wins. Always, always, always. We just may not be noticing them. You might not have known until this moment. You might not even know it. You'll raise your hand and you'll think of the win as you raise your hand. That's trust in the universe. That's knowing that the universe has your back. That's the opening series, right? Barb, thank you. Love it.
I was on a YouTube live interview yesterday.
Ah, beautiful. Yes, Barb. Beautiful. Way to go. Getting your message out there, getting your work out there, speaking. Fantastic. Really beautiful. It's such an important piece of getting our work out there, whether we're speaking to an audience of one in our living room or speaking to thousands, or we're speaking virtually, we're speaking live. It is so important. Way to go. Love it. Thank you. I'm just going to mute your line, a little bit of feedback, and Mary Kay, you too. So I'm not sure where the feedback was coming from, so you're now both muted. Unmute it whenever you need to speak, of course. All right. We have some great questions on deck for today, and so I want to go straight to the questions from here. I have so many pieces of paper in front of me right now from announcements and what I want to share with you today, so let me get to the questions here. So let me see here. Give me one sec. Okay. So, I love this question. So we've got, and I love it too. We've got questions from three people, is it today? Three different people today. I love that. Thank you. And we did that work on questions last time, and it's popped up in questions here, and I'm so grateful to you for posting those questions, because that helps me to help you, and your question will help others as well. So first question was from Mary Kay. She says, how much in reserve do I need for self-care so that it's more than enough, so that I have something to withdraw? I was going to say keep me going, but that doesn't fit anymore, or even invest as needed. My answer to myself is the first step is awareness of what level of self-care I have now. Plus, in writing this question, I realize I need self-care to fully enjoy abundance. I love how self-aware that question is. In the writing of the question, more answers come. Thank you for that, Mary Kay. So Well, the one thing that, first off, I love what you've observed already. Notice what level of self-care I have right now. Notice how when I shift the language about it, if I say, what self-care do I need to keep me going? Not very empowering. So I love the way your language was shifting in through the course of the question. And then I love the re-articulation of the question to make it more empowering. So start with any question whatsoever, all questions good. And then sometimes we massage it to make it more empowering for ourselves. She says, I realize I need self-care to fully enjoy abundance, right? So not a re-articulation of the question exactly, but more like a realization of the importance of the question. Not just what'll keep me going, that's scarcity. But, it's a really important abundance practice. So realization happening right during the call, during the question itself. So what I want to underline in the question and answer is the potential model for Mary Kay and for all of us of there can be a model of exhaustion and replenishment that I would like to encourage us not to have. It's like, oh man, I have to refill my tank because it got empty. Because I'm always emptying out because there's really not enough. And Mary Kay's might have had just like a tiny trace of that, but sometimes we do that even bigger, right? So I wanted to underline it. Okay, well, I need to be replenished. And her rewording of the question shows that she's aware of that. And I want to just keep me going because otherwise I will stop. That's a model of scarcity, right? So instead of a model of exhaustion and replenishment, what would it be instead to dream of a world? So I want to create a different foundation for this question, something to meditate on at the base of this question. What would it be if I could align myself in such a way that my day itself was self-replenishing? Now, that is not a substitute for booking off time for that massage, for that walk, for those pieces. But I don't want to I go till I'm exhausted. And now I got to replenish with this. It's already a model of scarcity, right? So again, here we are in the middle of the abundance series. Perfect question. Instead, what if I'm so aligned that everything that I engage in is actually self-replenishing? Everything brings me more self-care. When I'm teaching, I'm engaged and I'm excited. I know one of my friends and who was, I did some of her work for a while too. I did a few weeks of training with her. And she said to me, Michelle, she confessed, when I teach, I get thoroughly exhausted. I'm like, that doesn't happen to me. I'm more energized by the end of teaching, right? So can we notice what's happening in our day-to-day life so that there's a deeper self-care, right? That's number one. And number two, what if, and thinking from abundance, we're in the abundance series, instead of there's still something of, is there enough, is there enough, is there enough? And I can hear Mary Kay working to shift that language, but it's like, how many will, when will I have filled it up when there's enough dropperfuls, right? And instead, what if I could just envision that I always deserve more? That I'm worthy by nature of being a human being. I don't have to earn it. And that there is a never ending. Can you hear the abundance in that? Uppering. What's the word? Increasing. That's the word I'm looking for. Potential of how well I can care for myself. And so it's never is my bucket full now? Is my bucket full now? Do I have enough? Do I have enough even for abundance? All that has a measure of scarcity in it. Instead, can I envision that as my journey increases and as I am more replenished by what I do too, because I'm more and more on point with my work and my life, that I'm already self-replenishing and then I'm going to find better and better ways to deepen my self-care because my work is growing, so my self-care ought to be growing too. So it's a model of increase rather than a model of filling up the bucket. That's the second thing that I wanted to say, and that I'm already worthy of that increase. And the third part is, so the practical part, how do I know when, but I still got to put this on my calendar, Michelle, how am I going to do this? Will you give me something practical, right? So I'm going to switch to a more practical mode for a minute, and I'd say, how do I feel? How do I wake up at the beginning of the day? How do I end the day? If I take breaks in Shavasana, do I notice as I drop into Shavasana? What if I did 3 Shavasanas in a day, for example? Do I drop into it exhausted and depleted? Probably means more self-care on the calendar. So can I notice how my body's feeling? Can I notice how my breath is? And Shavasana will train that, so it will help us calibrate that level of self-care. How am I sleeping? I got myself a Fitbit. I'm so excited because it's telling me how I'm sleeping. And it's giving me confidence about my feeling. I wake up, I don't feel as rested. My Fitbit's telling me that's accurate. So I can start to trust more and more that, yes, right, I'm going to get to bed a little bit earlier, get a little bit more sleep. Then I'm going to be gentle with myself when I don't, if I have a project going on, but then I'm going to have that ebb and flow of things, right? So how am I feeling? How am I sleeping? And so number one was, alignment, so it's self-replenishing. Number two was, I deserve more and more, not by the dropper full. Number three was the practical part. How do I feel? How am I sleeping? And so on. Number four is, what are the stories I'm telling about my worthiness or about my place on the planet or whatever it is, if I'm still measuring out self-care by teaspoons or the enough point? So can I tell a different story about self-care and therefore my work in the world? And I'm not saying that that's happening with Mary Kay's question. I'm saying that that could be happening. I mean, she's headed towards something very different with the question, but for any of us, what's the story I'm telling about the role that self-care plays? Because sometimes I'm telling a story that I should be guilty because I should be taking care of others or whatever. I'm going to then do it by the dropper full, and I'm not going to build this that's my birthright and that's possible for me because I'm lacking in the roots of the tree in that self-care, right? Number five, check in with your body. I said, check in with how you're feeling, check in with your body. What's your body telling you? And then not to have a model of, well, is that enough? But instead a model of abundance. What would it be to be increasing energy rather than decreasing? We have a model of aging in Western culture that says my energy is going to be depleting, and so I better have more self-care to balance out how I'm going downhill. Not an empowering story. I like the stories that the yogis tell instead. Or so I've sometimes told this story. Some of you will have heard it, but I've spent a lot of the last couple of decades hanging out in yoga studios and among yogis. And I remember when I was teaching at a studio a couple of years ago, and I was talking to the owner, and he was talking to me about how he was just had almost mastered drop over back bends. It was just a regular everyday conversation. It's where his yoga practice was going. And then I realized, like, I don't know, it was a week later or something like that. That's not an everyday conversation out there in the world. He was in his 60s, and he was talking about what's he going to accomplish next. One of my teachers was, like, there was a pose that she wanted to accomplish for her 80th birthday, and she wouldn't tell anybody what it was. And she was already doing, you know, forearm balances and headstands with variations, you know, into her 70s, and as she was approaching 80. And so we have an idea in Western culture of both what is possible in our bodies and our energies and our life and what's, you know, and our self-care as well. What if I increase that radically? Because what I'm doing on the planet is also increasing, and I'm just having them go up both because life is increasing inside me and my world. All right. So in tune with talking about the pause last time. Great, great question. Thank you for that, Mary Kay. So hopefully I'm not going to even pause. There's so many questions on deck. I'm just going to keep going. Even though we were talking about the pause last time, ironically, but I'm going to keep going with the questions. And then if you have another layer of the question, repost it for next time, repost it with Marie, post it in the Facebook forum, keep digging in deeper if I didn't get there for you. All right. But hopefully there was at least one piece, and Mary Kay is doing a thumbs up if you didn't see her. So thank you for that, Mary Kay. Wonderful. Okay. So Barb's question is next. And thank you, Barb. I love it. She says, I found the place to post. Hooray. Thank you for that, Barb. So if you haven't found the place to post yet, you're not alone, right? Please go over there and post. And I know people who've spent in other communities, you know, years, and they still have never, ever found out how to post questions. It's like, that's a really important skill to learn, and you can lean in, and there are people who know, so you can find out from people who know and post. So thank you for that, Barb. Thank you. So she says, I'm so used to set coaching times, billable hours, office hours, et cetera, that I think I've been hesitant to ask you things directly, Michelle. Wow. Thank you. Great notice. Hope you don't mind that I'm reading your questions. The questions are, okay, good. Great notice already. How much am I coming from scarcity or abundance? I can only ask this much. I only am allotted this amount of time. I better not... Right? Small. So in already this part of the question, there is a growth and a growing and a bigger size of, you know, Barb stepping into the world. I love it. Thank you. All right. So I don't want to overstep what's allowed for a group program. So interesting. Scarcity or abundance, if you had to name it. right? Which is why we're one another reason that we're having this series, because the editor, those old stories come in the form of scarcity, not enough time, not enough knowledge, not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. I don't know how to do it. I think so. Abundance. It's a reframing of all the stories from it, and not just theoretical. People talk about that, but what is it to live it and have it inside our heads and actually our hearts and in our actions, right? So I struggle to express the value, benefits, results, outcome, transformation that I provide. It depends on what the person needs. Register a copyright, review a website for infringing materials, protect their IP, develop an awareness of copyright basics. That lack of clarity on my part is self-sabotaging. So interesting. Let me keep reading, then we can come back to that. I don't know if the members of our community understand what I do. I guess I'll ask in the Facebook group and see how it moves from there. Thanks, Barb. Can you see how much moved just in the asking of the question? I strongly encourage you to ask questions, because if you didn't hear how much was already moving just in her asking of it, listen to this part of the recording again. It's huge. I don't even know if people here understand, but let me go post and find out what they understand, because this is a safe place, because they will tell me what they've heard, and that might be something of what other people out there in the world hear. Now, people may or may not be your ideal clients in this community, but they probably know somebody who's your ideal client, for one thing, right? And also, so we take it with a grain of salt if they understood or not, because sometimes people who aren't our ideal clients might not understand, but it is a great place with heart-centered people who really can listen to, like, I understood this, but I didn't understand that. So great, great actions. All right. So the very first thing I put, I've got my notes in front of me here, because I think about your questions beforehand when you post them beforehand. So sometimes it's scrawled on a piece of paper. This time I actually typed it out. So noticing the I can't take up space story. Y'all heard that, right? It was happening here. And the noticing of it is the beginning of the shifting of it. You post it. You're not sure if you can ask questions, but you're doing it, Barb. Fantastic. Thank you. All right. So, and when you ask a question, everyone benefits. Anybody else feel like maybe there's some confusion in you about what the most important benefits are that your clients or potential clients could receive? Anybody else ever have that issue? Raise your hand that you haven't articulated it perfectly yet. You don't know exactly what they're going to receive. Like, look at the hands going up, right? So the question is there for everyone. So here's what I want to say. So when you said that lack of clarity on my part is self-sabotaging. Yes, on the one hand, because I'm like, well, if I had clarity about that, that would be, otherwise I'm just going to say, I don't know what it is. I'm going to stop myself. So yes, on the one hand. On the other hand, though, I want to dig underneath with that story and say, well, what if you didn't have to work so hard to express the transformation? There's lots of tools over there and practical applications to teach you ways to find that. And we're going to find other tools in other places through the year as well. But what if you didn't have to work so hard about it? What if you could not, and is it okay if I dive in a little deeper? Barb, do I have permission? Can you hear, Barb, an edge of beating myself up for not getting it right? Can you hear a little bit of that? Yeah, just a little bit, more than a little bit. So what if you didn't have to work so hard to find express the transformation? Because right in the question goes, it's going to be hard, which is like coming from abundance or scarcity. There's only a couple ideas that would be right, and these other ones would be wrong, and I better get it right. Abundance or scarcity, right? So what if you can get in a strategy session? It's why I so encourage you to engage 100% in the game in these next less than 2 weeks. What if you could just be in a conversation with somebody and then use the tools from practical applications and listen? Hey, I know we're here to talk about something about copyright. You'll know something about it because they've mentioned something, one piece of any of those things that you said. They're going to approach you about probably one of them. What if you had a whole bunch of stuff lying around on the floor, like at the high ticket virtual retreat, right? Somebody's going to mention something. So hey, we're here to talk about, because I know you're a little bit worried about, infringing about copyright, or there's something that you want to protect, but you're not sure even what or how. Tell me more about that. How do you think I can help you? What are you here for? And then you listen. What if you didn't have to choose? What if you didn't have to get it right? What if you could just listen to people and let them tell you what they need when they're somewhere in your ideal client zone? And if you're not having a bunch of strategy sessions already, then ask people if they'll play, if they'll role play for you. Maybe Wendy doesn't have an issue with copyright right now, but she could pretend if she didn't know. Maybe it's Teresa. Maybe it's somebody else here on this call. I'm not trying to point out either Wendy or Teresa, but somebody in this community. You say, hey, will you pretend you have this issue and play a role for me so we can chat about it, right? So, and how much will be learned in that? And let it be, remember, it's the high ticket virtual retreat game. Let it be fun. If I'm not having fun, I'm not doing it right. And that question that has strains of heaviness in it, right? What if I just went and asked people, right? I can just listen to them. And then, let me see. And then you underline in that what's the most important for them and have some idea of what it is that you want to offer. But here, people have come for different reasons. There's different parts of the community that you've come most for, and that's okay. And you're going to listen and hear what the piece is that's most important to them. What is it that you want to create? Reference a high ticket virtual retreat first off. That's a great place to go for that. And then start by working with one-on-one with somebody. Getting that first high ticket sale, whatever that is for you, that next level high ticket sale is so important because that person is going to teach you. Go reference a full day training about high ticket virtual retreat. That person will tell you what they need the most. And so you don't have to make it so hard on yourself, right? And but not billable hours. So this is something that I haven't said very often, but this is a really important shift in the story about how we do our work. As long as you're offering hours for dollars, here's an hour and it costs this much, it's really hard. You'll end up with a ceiling on your time. Some of you might be reaching that. Some of you might not have got there yet. Some of you might have already been starting to leverage to change that. But rather than did an hour cost this much, offer a VIP day. This is a great way to start with one person. And you can do that VIP day. It can be like, you know, 6-8 hours of your time. And if you're not sure what to charge, go charge $3,500. There it is, right? You can offer them at $5,000, give them a fast action scholarship. It's like today, because for you, it's $3,500. And you can adjust that and you can ask me questions about how to adjust that pricing. And then you're offering the transformation. You're not selling your hours because they don't care about your hours. They care about the transformation. Keep the eye on the transformation. And what we're going to do, we're going to do like a half day together. We're going to, you know, accomplish this and this and that. And then in you know, 3 follow-up calls because you're my VIP client, we're going to do this and this and that. And that's going to get you there. You're not selling hours. That one shift could be worth the whole year if you actually heard what I just said for you, Barbara, for all everybody here. That is game changing. And that is the way to get on the court with the game. And it's a way to get on the court with your company, no matter what level you're at, whether you have just started your company or you're already working with people at a high level. This is a great thing to do. That 3,500 for some people might be 35,000 or 100,000 or whatever it is. Or you start 2,000, all right, ask me questions about it. But that's a great way to get out of that hours for dollars, right? And remember, high ticket virtual, everything kicks in from what I said, the high ticket virtual retreat. I'm not going to retrain that hour or that day, but like you can give everything to that first person at that new level. Not scalable, but it is scalable because the program is going to change as you work with that one person and then the next person, then the next person. The investment level changes. You're going to learn stuff from that person. Maybe you're only going to give half that time to the next person, but you can give the world to that person because you now have a viable, real program at high ticket, and then go do your leverage thing, right? Because you have a real live raving fan who's invested at a high level that people will listen to more than they'll listen to you. And why wouldn't they engage then at the low ticket level afterward, low ticket, whatever that is for you, starting there with a high ticket and having the courage to do that and knowing the value of your work. And if there's issues at any of those levels, ask questions about it. All right. Do they understand what I do? That's a great question. Get on connection calls and ask them, what do you think I do? Really interesting to hear what they say. And like, you can tell them, like, let them be free about that. No judgment. Whatever you say here is perfect. And I'm just here to learn so that they don't get afraid that they're supposed to answer it right. And you can even ask them, what do you think I do? And in this area, because you know it has something to do with copyright, what would you like me to be doing? Do you have any questions about that? And when it's a connection call, it's not a strategy session, right? You're just helping. You're not going to all of a sudden pop an offer on them. He's like, wait, I thought I was helping you. Now you get like, oh, it's going to feel bad. It's a connection call. You're just helping each other, right? But it's like, you know, if you were to engage in this, or you know somebody who might, what do you think they would be interested in? And then you're all ears. Then you don't have to work so hard. Helpful, Barb? Great, great questions. And if with world enough and time, I would say, what's your aha, Barb, from that? What's your aha, everyone? Go and post those. Who's going to post something from these questions? Who's going to be the first to post in the Facebook, in our Facebook group? Go post like my one of my ahas from any part of this call. It's a great thing to do. It's a great way to be engaged. Who's going to go post at least one aha from the call today? Who would like to do that for me? Thank you, Barb. Awesome. Because when we post it, we have to articulate it and it lands more deeply in us. So it's a great thing to do. All right. Wendy, thank you for posting. Oh my goodness. Great, great question, and posted first. And it came out of the questions period that we had last week, right? So first, question in the Facebook forum, and Wendy did that. She tagged me and texted me. Bless you for that. Great work. And then she texted me again. I want to, you know, you guys have that available to you. Ask the question in the Facebook forum, tag me, text me. And then if it's a more in-depth question, like I suggested to Wendy, it's like, hey, why don't we dive in on the call? Which she then did. She posted it for here, and thank you for this. So let me see. I'm going to, just before I go to that one, because there's a really quick one that I can answer. So, and then we're going to get back to Wendy. But Mary Kay just asked a really functional question. How much floor space do we need for the yoga retreat? Good question. Like a size of a mat, you know, the size of a mat. I used to, you know, practice for years in a place where I couldn't even reach my arms up overhead without bumping into the ceiling. I mean, I don't need a lot of space, and don't worry about it, that it's going to be structured right into the day. What do we need? What is even, not going to be moving the whole time too. We're going to be moving for probably one segment out of four. We're going to be resting for one segment out of four. And I'll talk to you about the structure of the day more tomorrow. Remember, we've got the Yoga for Entrepreneurs, the full day tomorrow. I forgot that in the announcements. Make sure you've handed in your waiver, make sure you filled in your survey before tomorrow, right? And that should be in your inbox. And Amy at michellegunderson.com if you can't find it, right? So just enough space for a mat. If you don't have a mat, don't worry about it. You don't need a lot of space. And don't worry, we'll handle that all during the call. So thank you for that great question, Mary Kay, because others are probably thinking about that as well. And don't worry, it's going to be accessible to all. All right. It's nothing special other than, you know, wear something comfortable that you can move in, and it's going to be, you know, easy and fun for everyone. And you're going to have a whole different idea about, I mean, last year people said that was worth the whole year, that one day. You know, you don't want to miss it, right? So I just wanted to get that. It was right on my page here too, and it was pulling my mind over there, and it's a really good question. It reminded me of what I missed. So back to Wendy. All right. Let me see. I'm just pausing for a moment because I think I do want to read the whole question, because again, there's so much that happens in the questions themselves. And you can see as you post the questions, it's not just whatever answers I give you or whatever answers people in the community give you. I find this over and over again. My company takes huge leaps by the asking of questions. I'm a huge question asker, right? So, and we can see this again. We saw it with the previous two questions. We see it again with Wendy. So Wendy says, I guess this is an evolving question that sprung up after last week's call around the importance of the pause. I know I have work to do on this earth, and I'm incredibly passionate about it. I also have disempowering stories running regarding not enough and lack of self-love that have been on repeat and wired in for years. Anybody else have any bit of that? That, hey, not enough, hey, maybe not worthy, hey, maybe not doing it right, not alone, all right? It's hardwired in Western culture, too. I mean, the Dalai Lama, when he found out how pervasive this was at an event where people start raising their hands, like, that's me too, that's, he had burst into tears. He didn't understand that in Western culture, this is just so pervasive, right? So Wendy says, I'm incredibly grateful for the awareness of such patterns and for exercises and tools to help me release and replace those patterns. I also feel that this past year has been one of grandiose abundance and so much goodness from the universe in helping me to evolve and progress beyond my current state of awareness. So unworthiness, but also more coming in, all right, of abundance and awareness. Lately, I've been feeling drawn to the pause. I feel the invitation at this time to fall madly and deeply in love with me. Fantastic. I love this! Exclamation mark. To reconnect to my truths on a spiritual being level and to dust off stories that I've told myself through my human experience that are just not true. I recognize that this too is a thought that may be a limiting story, but I feel that the most important focus for me currently is to realign my inner story with the truths of my divinity and to fall madly and deeply in love with me. It reminds me of Bob Proctor, a wonderful, wonderful spiritual teacher, fabulous business person. He's like, if you've seen him on The Secret, he goes like, I'm so in love with me, right? What would it be to have that for ourselves, right? And that once I'm able to do so on a deeper level, the work I'm being called to do in this world will flow much more easily and smoothly. How do I fall deeply in love with me? And then the work will flow more smoothly. Notice the order in which I said those two and the order in which she's presented those. At the same time, there are parts of me that I feel if I'm not actively working on taking actions to grow my spiritual coaching business, then I'm not taking action toward my life purpose. And I'm just trying to work through the balance of taking massive, imperfect action passionately and pausing to allow for my evolution in the meantime. This is the piece that I love the most in this whole question coming up. Maybe it's a both and situation where I can somehow do both simultaneously. Maybe me doing the inner work is part of taking action to allow the outer world work to progress more quickly and with greater ease? ? I wanted to read you this whole question because I wanted you to watch Wendy's mind, heart, spirit. First was Mary Kay, then it was Barb, now it's Wendy's mind, heart, spirit, musing on the question, diving deeper into it, and then finding a really elegant solution. And one of the problems to begin with was that, okay, well, I've had this not enoughness, but then I really need time for me. And I'm not dissing that. Absolutely beautiful. But then there's this mission over here. And as long as it's set up as either or, I don't know how to get there from there. And I wanted to show you, goodness, I put it on my desk here, but I got lots of things on my desk. I hope I can find it for you really quickly. There's a visual. Will help land it in you. Goodness, I put it on my desk. Then there's other reminder papers. Just pause. Enjoy your thoughts. Huh. I had it right here for you. Oh, that's because I put it up aside so it wouldn't be caught in all the papers. All right. I don't think Marie would mind that I show this to you. But this is a card that Marie sent me 9 years ago. We've been working together 10 years coming up, right? And it's still on my shelf. And she said, even though it had some other name to it, she called this both and. It was a foundational thing that she learned 9 years ago, almost to the date, the importance of both and. And it was so important to her in her journey. It happened in a private session. She sent me a card about it. As long as I'm stuck in that either I'm going to do my mission or I'm going to take care of myself. Then I'm going to go take care of myself, but I'm going to feel bad about not being on mission. I'm going to go do my mission, but I'm going to burn myself out. It has scarcity at the center of it, those thoughts. And Wendy, you nailed it so beautifully. What if it's both and? And the piece that I want to give about this too is that, there's many, many follow-up pieces I could give. If you post a follow-up question about this, Wendy, I'm going to add some other pieces to this. So go ahead and post a follow-up question. But where you landed with this about both and, I think is so powerful and so strong and applies to every single one of us, myself included. So sometimes what we do is we think, okay, I've got to go away and build myself and then I'll be big enough that I can go and do those things that I'm afraid to do. If you've ever thought something like this, raise your hand. I have. Yeah, thank you. That's unanimous from those I can see. But the courage comes from taking the action. And the growth comes in me from taking the action and seeing what I'm doing. A really, really key piece of the growth comes from that. I gain the courage. I don't think I'm big enough. I don't have the courage. Well, I go do it. And that lets me see how big I am. And that gives me the courage. We get the order of it backwards. What if I just go do it and make that call that I'm afraid of? What if I just go talk to that person and don't be worried that they're going to throw tomatoes in my face? And when I was training with Peak Potential, some of you have heard this before, listen to it here. Why do I want to make the money? Why do I want to build the company? Lifestyle, contribution, who I need to become. That it's that last one that inspires me to no end and scares me sometimes. I am going to hold space at this next level, who I am becoming. I can't think of I've done tons of personal development work. I can't think of a deeper training ground than the entrepreneurial journey. Mothering is up there too. In the entrepreneurial journey, I bump into that. I don't think I'm big enough. I think I need to take more time and only do that because then I'm not really ready. I don't know how to do both of these things at once. Doing the journey itself, taking the steps and taking that action that I'm afraid of is the thing that will remind me of who I am. Wendy, fabulous question. Does that give you a start? And great, how you worked through that in the question was inspiring. It was beautiful. So thank you for that. One more question. Many great questions on deck here. Another question from Mary Kay. What if you change your inner story about something, but the outer story keeps coming up the same and doesn't match your inner story? Another great question. Not quite sure what I'm asking this question or why I'm asking, but it keeps coming up for me. This is a fabulous question around, okay, well, I've made the inner changes, but my outer world still looks the same. And sometimes in this community, you're going to hear, well, we need to be present in various ways. Like Shavasana will bring us presence. So pay attention to the present. It matters to be present. And now I'm going to tell you something that's actually seemingly opposite to this. The present is just old news. When I look out there in my world, it's just a residual of all that stuff that's already been. I'm living with that same spouse in that same way, in the same house, doing this same action that's been getting me the same results. Then I make a shift, and maybe it's even that, say, Wendy takes a step and does something, and there's an internal shift inside her, but then she goes home, and her world still looks the same because it hasn't had a chance to catch up yet. So if I'm measuring my life by what I see in front of me, I'm always measuring by old news, and I'm always already behind. The world around me looks the way it looks, whatever. I'm on my path. I'm taking that step. So combining Wendy's question and Mary Kay's question, I'm taking that action. I'm scared of it, but I'm doing it anyway. Then I internally shift and my inner story shifts, and I can work at both levels, shifting the inner story and moving to the outer world, shifting the things in my outer world by taking an action, and it shifts what's going on in the inner world. Beautiful arrows going both ways. So it's a synergistic combination going up and up and up. But then my world around me includes people, includes buildings, includes things, children, parents, whatever it is, and they might not have moved yet. Don't measure by that. Well, it doesn't matter what's there. I'm going to teach something different about how it does matter what's there next time, right? Because life is sometimes paradoxical. So I'm teaching you something. Be really present. Pay attention to the present. I'm also teaching you don't pay any attention whatsoever. So, and if I notice that my inner world has shifted, but my outer world hasn't yet, that's cause for celebration. Because it's just that, like, well, all that stuff's just out there. Yeah, it just hasn't caught up yet. Oh, well. Well, I'm not paying much attention to it. It's fine. And the more I continue on my journey, the world, I watch the world around me shifting, but I don't need it to shift in order to be on my path. Right. So those are the most important things I could say about that. Again, I'm going to have you repost the next level of the question. There's like a host of fabulous questions today, and I wanted to get to every single one of them. Let me see. And I'm going to hold the ahas even. You're taking notes, you're contemplating, I encourage you, because there's a lot moving in all those questions, to go post in the Facebook forum, be on connection calls with each other, journal about this. There's a lot moving in all those questions. These are great, great questions. All right. Today. There was a piece I told you that we were going to begin. I didn't. Sorry about that. I said we're going to begin with a video clip that I wanted to show you, but I'm going to postpone that for the next time. It's another piece around the pause, but we did such an important piece around that last time with Sabbath. And Wendy picked up about, self-care and the pause. And so I want to do that other piece next time because I want to add another piece of the puzzle today. So I hope you don't mind. I was going to say with your permission, but I'm actually just doing it. So I hope you won't mind, right? And let me see. I would love it if somebody would post that for me. I will put it in my own notes as well, but I don't want you to miss this video clip. And it's almost 2 weeks from now, right? It's March 3rd. So will somebody go and post a question for me? Say, hey, Michelle, what's that video clip you're going to show us? And it's good practice to go over there where questions are posted, and then you could post your own question right after that. It's a really good practice to do. Hey, Michelle, what's that video you want to show us, and what does it have to do with the pause? To make sure that I do not forget, I'm asking for your assistance. And also it will serve you, because then you'll post your question right after that. So who would like to do that for me? Go post in Story Freedom Academy. You got to take her on that, because then that means your question will be posted as well, because you'll post a question right after that, even if it's just, Michelle, what's my best next step? All right. get a chance to interact on the call? Any takers on that? All you need to do is post, hey, thank you, Mary Kay, done. Thank you. What's that video about the pause? What's that video you're going to show us, and what's the pause have to do with it? Something like that. Thank you, Mary Kay. Okay. Because then we can go to something different today. Just a reminder where we've been in the Abundance Series. And I wanted to do a deep dive. I can answer questions more deeply or more quickly. But I went into a deep dive because we start to see pieces of abundance. We start to see what are my practices, right? What are my habits of thought and action? And we see it right on the court with the questions. How does that pause come in there? Right. And again, we'll take another step into that next time. So what I want to go to is another piece of training for today's call. But I think we do need a pause, though, because it's been like this question, then that question, then that question. So I'm just going to pause for you to jot down, not share here, but jot down one aha from what's come up so far, just so that we can empty out a little bit so there's more room for the next piece. All right. So just a moment to write down your aha from what's happened so far. Okay, so finishing up that piece of writing for now, that last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it a later time. And then let's just take a collective breath here, because I know we've been going quickly. Inhaling. And exhaling. Let it go. Thank you. And again, inhaling. And exhaling, let it go. Thank you. All right. So the title of this training, the training piece for today's call is vision, and it'll become clearer too by the end of next our call next time, our call together, which is at 2:30 Mountain Time, March 3rd. Vision plus gratitude equals power. Five keys to envisioning and ways that actually work. Vision plus gratitude equals power. Five keys to envisioning and ways that actually work. So the question behind this piece of the training, that we're always adding another piece of training each week, is how do I actually envision something in my life, get at the right level of that envisioning? Oh, I'm going to make $1 billion tomorrow, but I don't really believe it. And that's, you know, it just makes me feel bad. I'm going to take the garbage out tomorrow. I'm like, you know, well, whatever. How do I actually envision something in my life, get at the right level, not be scared of it and really manifest it? That's what's behind that question, right? And so given that, then, vision plus gratitude equals power, five keys to envisioning, ways that actually work. Who is interested in knowing some answers to this question so that you can envision something and actually make it come true? Thank you. I want to see if you're still with me, that you're hearing. Thank you. Because if your hand wasn't up, it's like, what? I want to envision. I want it to come true. All right. So first, I want to say there's lots of ways to envision. There are lots of ways to set goals. There's lots of ways to create a vision of what you want. I'm going to add one more piece. We might not get to the science of getting rich today. I said we would, but we might get to it. There were a lot of questions on deck. Also, take a look at chapter 4 and chapter 6, if I haven't mentioned that, for next time. All right? It's pieces that we're going to look at today. It's going to energetically resonate with what we're talking about today, but I think we're going to get there next time instead, all right? Because I want to make sure we get to this training. So lots of ways to set goals, lots of ways to envision things. Let me just give you a few that I've found helpful. I'm not going to do a deep dive, but there's a wonderful book by Edwin Gaines, Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. She's got a whole chapter on goals. It's fantastic. I write down the stuff that I really want. I look at it morning and night, and I really envision it, and I set a date. Good practice. These are all good practices, right? Raymond Arend, he's got three levels of goals, like the no-brainer, the good goal, and then really outstanding goal. My teacher Sandra has, she has people creating a vision board and dividing up the different areas that they want to look at, and she calls them all, they're all F words, not that kind of F word for her. Right? Family, friends, fun, fortune, finances, fitness. There are vision boards that we take up and down. I mean, there's lots of different methods. And go ahead, pick one. They all work and they all don't work depending on how we use them, right? So I'm not going to dive into that today. We may do a little bit of a deeper dive on that a few weeks from now, right? What I want to talk about is whatever method we use, what is it that makes it not work? And what is it that makes it work? You can go pick up any of them. Go ahead. You probably, how many people have done some version of either envisioning or goal setting, either here or in some place in some training in your life before? Raise your hand. Yeah, we've all done it, right? We've all done it somewhere, somehow. So what's going to make it work or not work, whatever method you're choosing? So here's some of the things that make it not work. In my experience, that the things that people do over and over again, and it's going to sabotage whatever method you're using. The first one is, I aim for the ceiling and hit it. I aim for the ceiling and hit it. By the way, some of the work we're going to do today is going to dovetail, and next class is going to dovetail with some of the works in the Quantum Leaps virtual retreat. There's going to be some things that will overlap, and we're going to take it further, take it from another angle, take it deeper as well. All right. So I hit the ceiling and I aim for the ceiling and hit it. I think of my, and you know, Wendy's question before she got to the end of it could be that an example of that before she got to the end of her question. Her goal might be, well, I'm only going to take care of myself and discover the greatness of me. But I believe that she doesn't just have to limit herself to that. I can also be on point in my work. Wendy could just spend and ask me a follow-up question if you want to. Wendy, you could be spending 3 hours a week on your mission and it could move things forward spectacularly when you do it the right way. Ask me about it next time if you want to know, right? So that would be like aiming one version of what seems actually even big, but for Wendy, that could be aiming this at the ceiling and hitting it. She spent an entire year in deep self-discovery, but there's still more that could happen that she's missing out on. I'm naming that example because it's a sneaky example. It sounds really big. We don't always know when we're aiming for the ceiling. Well, I'm going to do 10 practice strategy sessions this week. For some people, that might be aiming for the stars. For some people, that's aiming for the ceiling and hitting it, because I'm using all those practice sessions to not go and talk to that person who I know might actually need my work. And I'm afraid. So I'm not going to go over there, and I'm keeping myself small, and I'm hitting the ceiling over and over again. I'm going to practice in 100 times, right? And it's individual to each person where you are in your journey. We need no judgment of ourselves or others, right? But we aim for the ceiling and hit it, and it happens more often than we think. Second one, and the work that we do from here is going to dovetail with this and take this deeper. It's when it's not grounded in gratitude or appreciation for what is. And Mary Kay's pointed at question, again, I want to spend a lot of time on the questions because Mary Kay's question pointed us to that. It's like, I'm looking at this stuff and the outer world hasn't caught up. What relationship am I supposed to have to this? Because I know my inner world has shifted, and here maybe a little even frustration about that, but I can't just be gratitude for the stuff that I don't like. That doesn't work either. But if I don't have some kind of appreciation for what is, this happened to somebody that I love dearly, who always wanted to go to Italy, who had her vision board up about Italy, and for years and years never ever made it to Italy. And then when she went to Italy, finally it sucked. I'm sorry, excuse my language. Because it was always, I'm going to go there, not like this awful place, which I hate. And what do you think happened in Italy when she finally got there? It's sad. It hurts. These things are so common. Number one, hitting the ceiling, aiming for the ceiling, hitting. Number two, not having it grounded in gratitude or appreciation. But how do I even do that when this stuff in front of me I don't even like? And then maybe I have a gratitude practice already, but I just say it and it doesn't mean anything to me or whatever it is, right? And I don't know how to appreciate when my kids are yelling and the dog is barking and I'm sick, right? It's like, sure, fine, Michelle. What, you want me to be Pollyanna about all this? No, right? So, but we know that we can't, if we hit the ceiling, aim for the ceiling and hit it, or if there's not grounded in something of appreciation for the now, can't get there from there. It's like the vision board about Italy. Number three is an example of that, and I already mentioned it in number two, a vision board. Grinding in the opposite with a vision board that we think is getting us there, but it's actually doing the opposite for us. There's Italy that I'll never get to. And it happens in sneaky ways. We don't know we're doing it. Number four, another thing that doesn't work, imagining it is far off, or imagining that I've got to make it happen. There's that thing in the far distant future, and it's way over there, and I'm always going to keep imagining it as so far from me, right? And I'm going to make it happen. I got to struggle hard and make and work to make it happen. We saw some of the questions had something of that in them sometimes. Listen back to this recording, you'll hear it, right? And then sometimes a transformation of that in the rewording of the question. Number five, not seeing it as already done. It's already done. For me, for instance, and this is, I mean, one of my most, maybe it's my most ambitious goal on this planet, the 10 by 10 by 10 club, you've heard it. 10 million women earning at least $10,000 a month, donating at least $10,000 a year to the cause of their choice, putting $100 billion in the hands of really great causes, putting $1 trillion in the hands of powerful women. Well, that's a really big vision. To me, it's already done. It's already done. How do you do that, Michelle, though? How does that work? And go over to the Science of Getting Rich. We're going to dive in to how does this even happen? If I've got to struggle to get there and it's so far away from me and I'm never going to get there, but I'm going to claw my way over there, I can't get there from there. To me, it's already done. Now, I'm just having the fun of watching it unfold. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen first or I'm going to die first. Frankly, I don't care. I mean, I'd prefer that I get to live and see it, but I know it's in process. I know it's going to happen. I have no doubt about that. I just might die first. That's okay. Right? So how to cultivate, I'm not telling you about how these things do happen. I'm telling you that at least in my experience, when we have any of these in the way, we can't get there from there. Right? And number six is reinforcing I can't do it in any which way. High goals that I don't believe, self-talk that I can't do it over and over, whatever it is. And we do it in ways that we don't even know. And then other common envisioning mistakes, I see of them really, I don't use that word mistake very often, but I see them as mistakes, are usually combinations, some kind of combination of the above, right? So the pieces to it perhaps, but have I even got it on my calendar, et cetera, et cetera. But none of that's going to happen if we fall into any of these mistakes, right? At least as far as I know. So, then what should I do? Great, I can't do that or that or that or that. What should I do in order to envision something that is actually going to work? And again, we're going to take a look at Science of Getting Rich next time and reread the whole book if you choose. I'd focus on those chapters four, the end part of chapter six, if you're short of time, start there. And then chapter seven, most important, and then read a few more chapters after that if you've got some time, or reread. But what I want to give you before we get to the Science of Getting Rich, because it's going to reinforce and add some detail to some of the things we're going to be talking about envisioning here, I want to give you an acronym. The acronym is TRUST. Trust. Trust that vision is going to happen. And each one of these stands for something that's really key to envisioning and actually manifesting that thing that you want to manifest. And I want to say, of course, this is, and to me, I always hear how this is connected to story, but let me just point in that direction here, like how we create empowering stories. Think Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. If he has no vision of where he's going, he's going to go save the princess and save the day for the galaxy. Nothing's going to happen, and he's going to stay on the farm. And his life will never be what he wants it to be. So if you needed to remember why this is connected with an empowering story, it's key. We have a desire. Desire is right at the heart of story. We'll talk more about this in Story Foundations in the summer. But desire is right at the heart of an empowering story. And what is it that I'm being drawn toward? And how to articulate that and actually make it real, right? So it's one key component of story. It's key in abundance as well, because if I'm envisioning scarcity for my future, and I do it in all kinds of ways that I, like Wendy did in these, like, subtle ways, for instance, right? Is that fair, Wendy? That there's a subtle scarcity, even though it sounded big. Well, here's my mission, but I'm just going to do them one at a time. There's this subtle scarcity, right? So, and often it's in much more overt ways than that even. So if I'm envisioning the future with scarcity, then that's probably what I'm going to end up with. So how can I envision abundance in all dimensions of time for myself Can I see that the abundance of my past? Often all we can see is what was lousy. Can I see the abundance of my present? And can I see my abundance of my future? If I can't, then, for instance, my future self is probably going to do what I've been doing because that's my practice. If I'm always going, well, the past was really lousy, but I think the future is going to be fine. My future self looking back on now is going to go, well, that past was lousy, and it's going to help make my present lousy. And so I can't get there from there. So abundance in all, past, present, future, envisioning, key component. How can I see abundance in the future in ways that don't either diminish my present, diminish my past, diminish me by thinking that I can't get there because it's so far away? So that's the connection with story. That's the connection. This is why this appears in the abundance series. Like, what am I envisioning for the future? And that acronym, TRUST. So I just want to pause for a second because I know I'm going pretty quickly today. Lots that I wanted to deep dive into the questions, and I wanted to share with you this acronym TRUST. That's why I didn't want to show you the video today. Are you all still with me about how this is a component of abundance, of how this is connected to story, and how we really want this because otherwise we can't get to where we want to go? Am I making sense so far? Okay, you're with me? No, thank you, Teresa, for that. Thank you for that honesty. All right. So I'm going to stop there because if we don't hear that piece, then the next piece won't matter. So Teresa, can you ask one clarifying question? If you go, I don't even know what to ask, Michelle, I have no idea what you're talking about. That will be helpful too. Right?
Too fast.
Okay. Okay. So
I'll rewatch it, but it was just like.
Got it. Okay. So let me thank you for that. Love that, Teresa. Thank you. So let me say the really most important pieces right here. We haven't got the acronym for TRUST yet, don't worry, what it stands for, okay, if you're worried about that. What I've been talking about is why envisioning matters, why it appears in this series. And it matters. Envisioning is like, you could think of it as creating, envisioning, imagining an abundant future. If I can't imagine an abundant future, how am I ever going to get there? Better, Teresa? Thank you. And I'm sure that helped everyone too. So never be afraid to raise your question. Ask. If it's not making sense to you, go ahead and raise your hand. All right. Thank you, Teresa. And also, abundance is, we don't want just a, like, we can't have a scarce level of abundance. I've got abundance, but only right now. I want to be able to envision abundance in my past. But Michelle, it already happened. And we create our stories about the past. I want abundance for my present. Like in that first video, it's like, hey, I got 20 bucks. I've got everything. It's an abundance practice. And abundance in our future. Otherwise, we don't really have abundance. Is that clear now, Teresa? Is that better? And I'm sure that landed better for everybody. Thank you. And I also was saying, this is a part of, we're always working to create empowering stories. Working to create doesn't, we're always envisioning and creating more empowering stories. And that envisioning of an abundant future is a key component of an empowering story as well. Otherwise, we have no compass. We have no idea where we're going. So that's what I was saying in those last few minutes. So that acronym TRUST, I want to spend just a couple minutes sharing with you the keys to that envisioning that allows for that abundance, that allows for an empowering story, that allows us to create abundance in past, present, and in this case, future. And also remembering that as we're envisioning that abundant future, it's happening now. It creates our abundant now. Because there's scarcity in our now. If we go, well, it's okay right now. It was really lousy before. It's okay right now. And maybe tomorrow will be all right. Maybe. I've diminished my present. When I can really wholeheartedly, fully envision that future that is truly abundant, that I believe in and know is coming my way, it enriches my present moment to no end, and I make better decisions. I feel better in my life. I speak more clearly. I engage with people more fully. I have more trust and confidence in my life and my company, right? So what does that acronym stand for? Let me see. Mary Kay, when you post that question, will you say, please tell us more about the acronym TRUST? Because I'm going to give you the outline today, but I want to dive into it a little bit further next time too, all right? So number one is T, turn toward your vision. Turn toward your vision. What do you truly want? Often we're so afraid to even articulate it because I think if I say it, it's never going to come true. It's too big or it's not right or whatever it is. So I won't even look there. I remember at one retreat, one of our alumni said, Michelle, and it was after several deep dive days, she said, I think I've actually started even thinking about the future again. I just even started to, I didn't even realize I wasn't even envisioning, but I wasn't. And that alone, to even be able to envision truly, honestly, deeply was huge. So T, turn toward your vision. Have the courage and the power to say what you truly want. And how to articulate that is what I want to say a little bit more of next time. So you can ask me the question if we don't get there, March 3rd. So two, the R in trust, remember to balance a vision with gratitude. We're going to do a deeper dive on this next time. Vision plus gratitude equals power. If I want to get over there to Italy because it sucks here where I am and I hate it, so I can't wait to get over there where it's going to be so much better than here, which is awful, awful, awful. There's scarcity built right into the vision. And I can't get there from there. What's a beautiful now? And Mary Kay's question, one of her questions was pointing toward that as well. It's like, I've done the inner shift, but the world around me, what am I supposed to do with that? And we're going to have more answers to that question next time, all right? The you in trust. So again, it's T, turn toward your vision. R, remember to balance vision with gratitude. U, use the power of the word. Write it down. Write it down. I want to add share it too. I might have all kinds of visions and dreams, but they're just in my head. There is a power in writing something down that is phenomenal. When we write it down, we own it. We start manifesting it. We start it coming into being. Write it down. Use the power of the word. Write it down. S, start experiencing it today. Start experiencing it today. Now, this is the fun part. This is something that I learned in different places. One of the teachers who teaches something of this is Raymond Aron. It was in a training session. I liked it better than his book, but I dipped into and out of his book. But this one piece that I learned from him though was beautiful. Like, how can we? Let's say part of my vision is to take a week off every month, for example. That was one of the things he wanted. And maybe right now I'm overrun with things. Well, then it's just that thing that's over there that I'm going to have someday, and right now it's awful. Can't get there from there. But remember, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. So what he did, if I remember correctly, I read this years ago, is he took that week, that week off, and he just, we have powerful imaginations. I mean, we worry all the time. That's using our powerful imagination to envision something negative in the future. It's scarcity and lack of abundance and negativity of envisioning, right? Instead, what if we turn that around, envision something beautiful for the future? And so he's envisioning that beautiful week off and experiencing it today. He took, what he could do was an afternoon off every week. So he took Saturday afternoon and he did something special. He went for a trip and he imagined he was like sipping Mai Tais on the beach or whatever it was. I can't remember the details of what he did. But that afternoon that dream became real right here, right now. It wasn't a week yet, but he imagined it to be. He used this powerful imagination. That afternoon became his week off. And then it grew and it grew and it grew until he had his week off every month. Start experiencing it today. Have fun with it, right? What could you do that makes it real right here, right now? And then number five, T, time to reap the rewards. Celebrate. Celebrate. And I'm going to feel much more like celebrating when I'm already experiencing one piece of that thing that I envision. So there's not such a gap between that thing that I envision and that and in my life right here, right now. Okay. That's as far as I want to take the envisioning today, because we're just getting to that time in the call to wrap it up. Teresa, thank you for that. I love that. Thank you. Satya, truthfulness. Was that helpful to you? Did that make it easier, better? Thank you. Love it. I bet that helped other people too. Always raise your hand. Always raise your hand. Always ask. Always post your questions. It's going to help somebody else too. And yes, you do have access to the recording. We're going through a lot of material today. So thank you for that too. Like, thank you for that going back, Teresa. Reminders. We got an entire day tomorrow. Yoga for Entrepreneurs, remember to hand in the waiver, please. You need to hand in the waiver to participate, and make sure you do the hand in the survey. I'm going to be looking through them tonight, and I go through them very carefully to see what it is you are wanting. And I know what we're doing, but it also gets reshaped, redesigned by what you want and need, all right? So tomorrow, full day, deep dive together. Remember to get Maurice, the bonus calls with Marie on your calendar. Remember that our next call is on a Tuesday, not a Thursday, and that it's 2 hours later. And also that our deadline for that Mexico early bird bonus, this is an early bird bonus, is tomorrow night. So to remember, make some time in your calendar to make that clarity of decision, right? Remember last one we talked about closing open loops, like just make the decision and hope you're deciding to come. And then gaining that massage. And then the game ends March 4th on my birthday. So what is it you want to do between now and then? You've got 13 days, I think it is, something like that. Maybe 12 days. How do you want to use these next 12 days of your life to skyrocket your company for 2020? So much as possible. What will you clear off your plate to add space to engage in the game, because it's here now. We don't do it again for another year. How do you want to engage in these next 12 days to skyrocket your work? So a number of things going on to serve and support you in our on our campus right now. So I want to end with one aha, one inspired action. And then I will see you tomorrow. We start at 9:15 Mountain Time. Just book off the day. Just book off the day. And and if you need to go, I understand. And go ahead and post your ahas in the Facebook forum. It's a great thing to do anyway. It's a great thing to do weekly. Go post ahas there, because they will become real and actionable when you go post there. So for those who are still here, thank you for staying for your one aha, one inspired action. If you need to go, like, no worries. Barb, you're up first. One aha, one inspired action.
Well, my aha is that the ideas for what to ask in connection calls.
Yeah.
And my one inspired action is to post my calendar link and set up connection calls.
Love it. Actionable, doable, and so beautifully linked to the questions you were asking, so that you take that next step, which is built on the question you asked. Thank you for posting that question. Thank you for finding that inside you. Thank you for finding the courage and giving yourself permission to ask that question that helps everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Kay, you're up.
My aha is I might not have to overdo everything.
Thank you for that. We heard that in different ways, strongly through the call, and thank you for picking it up. It's huge. Thank you. Yes. Your inspired action.
I'm gonna find three more people to do strategy calls with.
How easy would that be? Right, write down three names and go do strategy sessions. Thank you for demonstrating. I don't have to overdo it. I can make it that simple. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Dottie, you're up.
I love the balance, the thought about Italy. Balance the reality of today with what you want, or something like that. That was great.
Yes, balancing vision and gratitude. Yes, thank you for hearing that. We're going to do more on that coming up.
That would be great.
Love it. Thank you for underlining that. It's super important. It's crucial. I don't know how to build a company without it. So I don't know how to create abundance without it. It's perfect. And what's your inspired action?
I have a little case where I have like the gems, and I wrote a card and put it in my gem.
Oh, I love that. And talk about, like, if having fun, we're not doing it right and making it fun. Like, what a beautiful way to engage in gems and the teachings and pull them out when you want to. And love it. Thank you, Dottie. I just noticed I don't always see the notes, but I happen to see Wendy's. She says, I have to jump off the call. And so she gave her aha. So I'm going to read this. And then we're going to go to Lindsay. My aha for today's call is a reminder that it is in taking the steps that I will rediscover and ground, solidify my truths. My inspired action is to post a follow-up question about spending 3 hours a week on my divine mission. Fantastic. I'm so glad, Wendy. Thank you. And Lindsay, you're up. If you're in a place where you're able to speak, one aha, one inspired action, just give it a moment. Can't tell if you're in a place where you can speak or not. Okay, so I'm not seeing you unmute. So go ahead and post the ahas in the Facebook page, in our Facebook group. It's a great place to post those ahas and those actions. Have a fantastic day, everyone, and I will see you tomorrow, 9:15 Mountain Time, for a really, truly transformative day. It will be as transformative as you choose. The people have received amazing gifts from that day, and I know that when you are open to receiving, that is there for you as well. So have a fantastic day, and remember to fill out your survey, fill out your waiver, book your Mexico room and flight, and I will see you tomorrow morning. Or whatever time it is in your time zone. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye for now.